Hey, we're back on the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. I'm getting technical here. I'm using Facebook. Wow. I'm talking on the microphone. This is kind of scary. So if I start to go into convulsions or something like that, you'll know why. I'm avoiding the chewing of gum, though. I have to make sure that I don't chew gum at the same time. Right before the break, and our number here is 888-850-1872, I was talking about that the White House believes it has a winning strategy in Afghanistan. And of course, many of us don't know what's happening in Afghanistan. Oh, by the way, we found out we've had about a dozen people tuned on to our video stream at faithfreedoms.org. And you know what we just found out? The audio wasn't running. So hopefully they were reading my lips, but all that's taken care of. We noticed the glitch and we're back online there at faithfreedoms.org. So if you pull in your driveway and you're trying to see basically associate a face with a voice, and you can do that, and that's great. So this U.S. strategy, something I was doing is I noticed that article, by the way, about the U.S. strategy just came out officially today publicly, and I picked it up by looking at overseas news on the other side of the dateline. So it came out today date-wise, but last night as far as our time zone. And it talked about Mr. Obama's strategy. The problem is the day before, I was looking in a UK news item, and I was looking at the United Kingdom's assessment of Afghanistan and the UK's role regarding Afghanistan. I'm telling you what, they're both part of NATO, the US and the UK. All the U's are part of NATO. This is what was said by the commander of the UK forces, British forces, about Afghanistan. He said the UK's commitment to Afghanistan could last for up to 40 years. 40 years, that's four decades. 40 years, that's an official generation, is it not? The incoming head of the army in Britain has said General Sir David Richards, he's got two first names, who takes over on 28th of August, told the Times, I guess that's London Times, that nation building would last decades. So when I read this, I kind of go, wow, we are the Roman Empire, aren't we? If you want to talk about that, 888-850-1872. So we're kind of like the new Roman Empire. And there's a biblical perspective of that, and a constitutional basis of that too. Troops will be required for the medium term only, but the UK will continue to play a role in development, governments, and security sector reform. So this is what the United Kingdom Armed Forces are doing in Afghanistan. They're doing development, governance, and security sector reform. And one part of the global sector. Hey, I'm going to take a call because I think this is somebody I was looking for. Hey, thank you for calling Faith and Freedom Radio. Is that Brad? It's not Brad.
I'm here. I just had to mute the sound so I don't get any feedback.
Well, baby, you are on the radio with our broad West Central Florida audience, and I've even gotten calls from the other coast, the East Coast of Florida, so sometimes we got the right kind of propagation, and who knows where this is going. Thank you, Brad Barnhill, for calling. And you know what? My audience really doesn't have a clue about your story, and I just kind of warned them that I might be getting a call shortly. So if you could,
what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about your subject matter, about the troops in Afghanistan.
Ah.
And one of the problems that I have is that there's been no declaration of war by Congress. So what the heck are our boys doing over there?
Well, that's a good question.
Aware that we're at war. So this must be one yet another police action that's not sanctioned properly by Congress, except through funding.
Ah.
So they're given their which was really interesting because it was the CIA who trained Obama bin Laden. Obama.
Right. Yeah. No.
Osama.
That, you know, that mistake is made a lot.
That's
kind of weird.
Maybe you can understand that my confusion.
Okay, I'm going to tell people who you are just
right
before we get into this conversation. This is Brad Barnhill, and if you do a search on the internet about Brad Barnhill, you'll see all kinds of neat stories. Brad is somebody who is kind of just comes the same school of law as Abraham Lincoln, just a concerned American Christian man who's concerned about his obligations before Almighty God to love his neighbor as himself. And sometimes that has to be done by knowing the law and applying it in the right situation. And ultimately, while people are, you know, some say, hey, I'm overseas, I'm fighting for our freedom. If nobody's fighting for our freedom at home on the ground here, all that stuff is wasted. So Brad Barnhill's got some history there. I actually want him to talk about something else, but guess what? We don't need to because he's on point. Now, Brad, I respect your opinion on this. We got an issue here. What's your take on going to the Constitution when it talks about treaties and the laws of the United States, all these treaties and laws of the United States pursuant to the Constitution? What happens if there's an action that NATO is engaged in? How do we reconcile the Congress declaring war and being a partnership with some treaty that might find us in a war? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, the war powers that were granted by the states to the federal government in the Constitution are very limited. Okay, there is the president can call forth the militia in the event of insurrection or invasion. I'm not aware that either one of those things have happened. Congress can declare war and grant letters of marque and reprisal, and nobody's been doing any of that since, you know, the mid-40s. So the problem that we have, and then you talk about the treaty power. Well, that we may be, in fact, engaged with another group of nations in a treaty, but I'm unaware that the treaty can amend the Constitution. The only way to amend the Constitution is by 3/4 of the states plus 2/3 of the House of Representatives, and I'm not aware that that's been done.
Well, you know, I've never done the homework on the Barbary issue with the pirates. And it was the Navy. There was a Navy that was one thing I noticed in the Constitution, the Army power has to basically be reinvigorated every 2 years. But there's an implication that the Navy would be perpetual because it's got a different role.
Right.
And you've got a perpetual Army in the Navy called the Marine Corps under the Navy Department. But with regard going back to Jeffersonian days, when you've got the Barbary pirates,
right,
and then we have a military action that occurred by the order of the president. That was not necessarily quote unquote insurrection, and they weren't letters of marque or reprisal.
Well,
right?
The situation there was that we were dealing with pirates. Okay, it was not really that we were at war with any particular nation because those pirates sought refuge in those nations, but they were not technically sanctioned by the nations. I don't believe that anyone would be able to argue that they were contracted privateers of that nation. So the pirates themselves are fair game, much like the pirates that we have today.
Now, would you not, if you know, and I don't know how much you know about what's going on in Afghanistan, I'm learning about it.
Yeah.
There is a interesting, I think, a similarity to the actions of the pirates of the Barbary Coast and renegade people doing, basically warmongers, warlords, who are stretching their warlord-isms into all parts of the globe and getting their funding from the drug trade,
right,
in Afghanistan. So, I mean, to me, I see there is a similarity with regard to the Taliban, so to speak, or so they've named themselves.
Okay, well, first of all, it was the CIA who created the Taliban in the first place to fight against the Russian hegemony back in the Soviet, what was then the Soviet Union, you know, years ago. And you saw what happened to the Soviets in Afghanistan. It ended up crippling their empire because they just couldn't afford to, they couldn't afford these foreign entanglements. You know, it was too much money for them. And they did not have the luxury of printing their own money. Okay, they still had to use, you know, how would they get the dollars to fight that war? And today, all we got to do is say, hey, Federal Reserve, print us up some more money so we can go kill people in another land who mean us no harm. And then we created Osama bin Laden back then.
Or at least for sure,
the Taliban against,
right,
the Soviet Union.
Right, and they enabled them. They basically equipped them, enabled them, trained them, partnered with them, made them what they were, the fighting force that they were. that they're essentially now passing on to the next generation.
And then when the Soviets left, it created a vacuum, and of course people with guns
had nothing better to do.
That vacuum. And, you know, the CIA's not going to train any namby-pambies. The CIA is going to train these people to be the most ruthless, vicious killers that they can. And so now you have a country that's run by ruthless, vicious killers.
That's true.
Okay, so why are we so surprised?
Exactly.
Okay, now the second problem that you brought up was the... Yeah, you can go outside and ride your bike if you want. The second problem that we have is that... this is being funded by drug trade.
Oh, that's a huge pardon.
Okay, now, but just last year, the United States government was buying drugs from these organizations in order to give them money to, you know, to help control their country.
And what's really sad, and this hit me like...
exchange, although nobody saw any drugs coming into the country.
One of the things that hit me last night as I'm thinking about this, this all does go back to a bigger fallacy that it is not merely political or short-sighted. It is short-sighted. One thing that they're kind of basically trusting their strategy with regard to, say, buying drugs for them so they'll have some income, so they won't be all basically agitated against the NATO troops, is that's that Maslow's triangle of self-actualization. They think that they're going to, the problem isn't just a fundamental corruptness of the hearts of men. They think it's, oh, they're just underprivileged. And if we can privilege them, they won't rely on the drug trade or be warlike, when actually they don't realize, and they don't have the ability with a so-called secular government to realize, this is a depraved society. The whole problem is their depravity. And I don't think they're going to be being able to overcome what they're dealing with even in the next 40 years. What do you think?
And not only that, but here we are, American troops, you know, coming into their villages and killing people and wiping out parts of families. All we're doing is creating animosity towards us. You know, you need to read Blowback, which is a publication that Ron Paul suggested to Rudy Giuliani during the last election cycle, to see that when you interfere with a country's internal affairs, that country, the people of that nation tend to resent it. And it's not because we're free, and it's not because we have money, and it's not because we have and they have not. It's because we're over there killing them, and we've been killing them. And not only that, we train them to kill. So... there's a number of constitutional issues at play here. If you just talk about the drug issue, let's just repeal prohibition for the second time. Okay, if you repeal prohibition, then the price of the drugs goes way down, and nobody can really fund wars with it anymore.
Well, the problem is, well, then you're raising a whole lot of other issues.
Well, I understand. I'm a simple man, and I believe that people are self-reliant, and I believe that if you were to suddenly make cheap drugs available, that maybe some people would fall off the edge, but other people would help them. You know, we're not here to pass judgment on people for what they put in their bodies. And I'm not going to go to my neighbor's door and take sugar out of his cabinet so he doesn't get fat, or take soda out of his... Why should I care what else he puts in his body unless he's out on the road driving around impaired? And there's ways to deal with that. And I think drug prohibition has created huge problems, not only in America, but internationally, and it's time to repeal it.
Okay, when we come back, you made a point, and I could quote Sir William Blackstone and his commentaries on the laws of England that would actually agree with what Mr. Barnhill just said today. You may think it's extreme. It actually goes back to the founding of the nation. It's a little bit weird, but true. We're going to come back, deal with this thing on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. Stay tuned to the Eagle 104.3 FM. We'll be back.